Radio Pulpit, 657 AM, your daily companion.
It's Judith Sapuma, Oh Give Thanks, takes us to 10 minutes after 1 o'clock. Very good afternoon to you if you've just locked in. My name is Lukom Kwedi-Puti. I'm absolutely thrilled to be spending yet another hour with you. We'll be going all the way until 3 o'clock this afternoon. And it is, of course, a happy Thursday. And this Thursday, second hour, is not started by myself alone, but I have a beautiful lady by the name of Kiki Mswane with me in studio. Kiki, good afternoon and welcome to Radio Pulpit.
Good afternoon and good afternoon to your listeners. Thank you for having me.
Lovely. Thank you so much for joining us this afternoon. I believe you are the regional manager at ADASA. Which region, by the way?
Mpumalanga region.
Oh, yeah, in Mpumalanga. Mpumalanga's, you know, whenever people say Mpumalanga, I always thought to myself, oh, if only your Witbanks, your whatnot. But, you know, I've learned it's quite big nowadays. But you are covering the whole region of Mpumalanga, as I believe.
Yes, we are covering the whole region of Mpumalanga. However, our office is based in Nelspruit.
Oh, Enalspoti. Lovely, yes. Lovely to have you with me, Kiki, this afternoon. You are from ADASA, Kiki. And the first time I got to know of ADASA was actually last year. I had a chat with one of your representatives. And so I think somebody might also be hearing of it for the very first time today. Tell us, who are you? Who is ADASA? I know you're also associated with a lot of the senior citizens of this country.
Yes. So ADASA stands for Association for Dementia and Alzheimer's of South Africa. Mm-hmm. We have offices in all 9 provinces. Like we said earlier, I am a regional manager for the Mpumalanga region. Mm-hmm. The organization was founded back in 1985. However, back then it was called Alzheimer's South Africa.
Oh.
The name just changed recently. So people that have known Alzheimer's South Africa, they will tell you they don't know ADASA, but it's still the same organization. It's just that it was just the name change. And obviously, when you look at dementia, there's different types. And I think that was the motivation behind the changing, where the focus is not just on Alzheimer's, but on all different types of dementia. So what we do as ADASA is that we offer psychosocial support and counseling to families that are affected by dementia. And
okay,
we're talking about, you know, maybe in your home someone has just been diagnosed, or we don't even understand what it is that maybe grandma or ma is going through. So that's when we come in, and a lot of hesitation when it comes to accepting that there's going to be changes.
Yeah.
You do come across family members that are in denial of the changes. And when someone is in denial, obviously they do not provide the care, the right kind of care that is needed for the person. So that's when we come in with our services. We also have support groups in different areas. We do trainings. This is when we train professionals, caregivers, as well as family members, where we start explaining from what is happening in your loved one's brain, you know, the type of dementia, the symptoms, how to care, how to communicate with them, challenging behaviors, and so forth. And we also raise awareness to the communities. And again, in Mpumalanga, there's a lot of rural areas where the condition is still not being understood due to lack of information.
Yeah.
And it is taken as, you know, some people will say, my mom has been witched, or it's the other way around, where they would suspect the person who's living with dementia that person is performing witchcraft, which is not the case. So those are our services, where we try to provide information, educate people, and offer support, because, you know, having a loved one going through this condition, it's not an easy thing to care for them, and it's not an easy thing to adapt to the changes that comes with it, because one person, you know, may experience it differently, and you have to adapt it to the change that comes with it. So that's when we come in as ADASA.
Now, tell us, Kiki, is there a difference between dementia and Alzheimer's? And if there is, what is the difference? And I also heard you somewhere talking of the different stages. I understand you might not necessarily have notes in front of you, but if you can just enlighten us, even if it's just from a perspective of myself understanding, perhaps I'm dealing with the situation and I'm trying to differentiate, is this dementia, is it Alzheimer's? What stage is it at?
Okay. So the word dementia, it's basically the word that we use to describe the symptoms that a person will be showing as a result of the brain damage. So that's the word that we use. So here we're looking at, obviously, those symptoms will include like memory loss, the confusion, those kind of things. Mm-hmm. Then when it comes to Alzheimer's, it's a type of dementia.
Oh.
Dementia is an umbrella word that we use to describe the symptoms when now a brain is damaged. However, Alzheimer's is the type. So when you look at the figures, Alzheimer's is the most common type of dementia, which accounts for about 70 to 80% of cases of people that are diagnosed with dementia, they are diagnosed with Alzheimer's. And you're not the only one that has asked this question, because some people think, okay, when it's still in early stages, it's dementia, but then once it advances, then it's Alzheimer's. No, that's not the case. Alzheimer's is a type of dementia, like how you get like a vascular dementia, it's a type of dementia.
Oh.
So you have an umbrella word, then you get the different types.
You spoke about how people experience dementia differently. And I like that you mentioned that, because you're really taking me back to a family incident where one would say an aunt of mine was not well. Well, my aunt's mom, actually, so it's a gran. And you know, people are like, no, she's being naughty. She doesn't want to, stay at my aunt's place. And one day they found her walking on the N2, nje. Just walking. And the police picked her up. Fortunately, she could tell where she was coming from. So they took her back where she was coming from. And I remember my aunt shouting at her and saying, no, she just doesn't want to stay here. She wants to go. Because oftentimes, I think the older people have a tendency to want to be in their own comfort spaces. That's their house. Even if it's not in a proper condition, they just want to go back. Mzinam, I want to go back to my home. And so, most of the people were like, no, she's stubborn. She's always been stubborn. And whereas some of them, I know another incident where she was very, she internalized everything. She was always at home. And whenever she was seen once off, neighbors would think, oh, what is she sitting and doing in the home for days on end and months? She's a witch, you know? And now that I think about it and the incidents, the reactions were not necessarily the same, but the conditions were very similar.
Yes, that's true. I always say when we care for someone who's living with dementia, we don't use a one blanket approach. It differs with people. You need to study the person. Things that I always encourage for people to look out for is to know the history of the person, what it is that they used to like, what it is that they didn't like. So that when you actually putting a care plan in place, you incorporate those things, because someone that might be on the same stage as the other person is not going to experience it the same. So what works for this individual works for the other person. And like I say, it's something that you can never predict. Today, we might have a routine that works today, and we wake up tomorrow, things have changed. Now we have to adjust to the changes that now are happening on that day. So it's never a thing where people will experience it similar. It's never the case. We have to focus on the individual. We use a person-centered approach, when we come up with a care plan for an individual living with dementia, because, again, you need to focus on the person. What are they presenting at that time? You mentioned someone who, the family, they felt like she was stubborn. She didn't want to stay there. Remember, when someone is living with dementia, they're living in their own world.
Yeah.
What is reality to us is not a reality to them. So how they see things, how they experience things is not going to be the same for us. chances are she found comfort more in a certain area than where she was.
Yeah.
And again, someone who's living with dementia, remember, they're constantly trying to make sense of what's happening to them. They are aware that there are changes that are happening, constantly trying to figure things out and not being able to find the answers. So they are constantly anxious, you know, and being in a place where they feel uncomfortable, it makes them even more anxious.
Oh.
And some people say, you know, people that are living with dementia, they are aggressive, you know, because they've come across people that were aggressive. Much of the cases, the aggression is not coming from the nature of the condition. Most of the time, it comes from the lack of understanding, the lack of communication. Because if someone living with dementia is trying to tell you that they are thirsty and they're no longer in a position where they can verbally, you know, express themselves to say that I'm thirsty, they might say something that is not even close to, you know, being thirsty. And if I don't understand and I respond or react in a certain way that is not in line with what they're trying to express to me, then we're going to have a problem. They also do get frustrated. We get frustrated. And before you know it, now we have a whole situation where now there's more struggles. So I always say that when we talk of someone who's living with dementia, much of the things that you would have to pay attention to is more their actions than what they say. Because as they go through different stages, you know, there will be less of, you know, verbal expression and much of like physical, or you need to now study their body language, what it is that they're trying to say to you, that you are able to meet their needs. I mentioned the challenging behaviors where now there's an aggression. Majority of the time it comes from an unmet need. They're trying to tell you that there's something that they need, but we're not understanding. So it's very important that you actually pay attention. What had triggered that emotion? What had happened 5 minutes, 10 minutes ago before the reaction that we are now seeing? Those are the things that will give you a clue as to what is happening than them saying to you verbally, this is how I'm feeling, or this is what I'm, you know, I'm thinking.
Yeah, sure. We still have a long way, I must say. Something that really bothers me, and whenever we have this conversation, really comes up. You actually mentioned it as well. The suspicion, yobulo, you know, people are practicing witchcraft because they are not in the very same state. And you know, sometimes it's also because they start living things, probably experiences that are past oftentimes. And because of that and them probably relaying, you know, I'll make an example. They relay Uti so-and-so died, you know, and they died back then. And they'll speak of it as if they know exactly what killed them. That's another thing. And because of that, then people start saying, yeah, now they're starting to speak up. You know, it's an old incident. Whereas this person is simply not in a right state of mind.
That's correct. And I think in that case, we're talking actually about someone who is living with Alzheimer's. So with Alzheimer's, the first thing that will go away is the short-term memory. However, the long-term memory is still there. So you would ask someone if they had coffee this morning, and they will say no, because they wouldn't remember whether they had a coffee this morning or not.
Sure.
However, if you ask them what happened 50 years ago, they can describe it to you as it is that had happened, with the details. So that's what happens when someone is living with Alzheimer's. They will remember the long-term memory because it's still there. However, what happened yesterday, what happened this morning, they wouldn't be able to tell you. But when we see things like that, people will be like, how is it that she can't remember, you know, what just happened this morning, but she can tell what happened 50 years ago?
Yeah.
It's because the short-term memory with Alzheimer's, it starts from the hippocampus. The hippocampus, that's where we store the short-term memory. We learn new skills and things like that. So once that is gone, whatever it is that we've discussed this morning, she's not going to remember, because that's where it starts. But obviously, as the condition progresses, then it goes to different regions of the brain. And you will see with, you know, the less abilities as they go through different stages to say, oh, okay, now it's the short-term memory. And as it progresses now, maybe they struggle to find the right words to express themselves. You know, the part of the brain that is responsible for words now is affected. Okay. And as it continues, it gets to even to a point when a person can no longer walk, they can no longer speak, they can no longer eat. Now we're in the late stage of dementia, where now they end up being bedridden, you know, and then obviously now there's a different care that one has to put in place. So I always say that as much as we think that they acting up or they just, you know, showing signs that now they're confessing to what they've done, the witch and all of that, it's not the case. They cannot control it, you know, and we are dealing with a condition that does not have a cure at the moment. You know, and what is important is the kind of care that we give to them. When the doctors do prescribe medication, it will be more for the current symptoms that they are showing. That medication is not there to cure, but it's more to address the symptoms and just to prolong the progression.
Now, somebody's listening right now, Kiki, and they don't know how to approach this. Perhaps they're seeing signs of a loved one, you know, on a loved one, and they're not too sure. What can they do? How can they find more information? And what advice would you have for them, even for those who are saying, now I understand these have been the signs? Where to from here?
I think once we have identified the signs, it will be very important that we get a formal diagnosis. So this is where now we take a ugogo or mama to the doctor, a neurologist to be specific. They will be able to run their tests and be able to tell you exactly what type of dementia the person is having. And then they will make a recommendation based on the presenting symptoms as to what medication you should give at that time. And the challenge that we are currently having, and I think it's all in the provinces, but specifically in Mpumalanga, we don't have many neurologists, hey? You know, so it takes time for people to be formally diagnosed. And in some cases, people end up not being formally diagnosed because we don't have the resources. So I would say the first thing you do, just take her to the doctor and they will be able to assess. And then be able, if there is a neurologist around, the neurologist will be able to then formally diagnose. And once the diagnosis is done, I think that's when now, as ADASA, we come in where we just provide that support, the information, you know, what to expect, how do you guys respond into certain situations. And also with having to attend support groups, it's very, very important for family members. Because remember, whenever now there's someone who's living with dementia, majority of the time we always ask about that person. But we don't necessarily pay attention to how is the family doing.
True.
Another person that is caring for someone who's living with dementia. And I think that's where support groups become important because they get to also express you know, how is it that they're handling the situation, what they're going through, you know, the emotions that comes with it, in some situations, the trauma that comes with it. Because the moment that the caregiver is not able to care for someone who's living with dementia because they also have their own, you know, breakdowns or mental issues or a burnout, then it becomes problematic because now who's going to care for someone who's living with dementia because they depend on us as a family to provide that care if they are unable to care for themselves.
Sure. Interesting. Now, we are at that stage and we would love for your support as ADASA. How do you reach out to you guys?
Okay, so we've got a website. It's www.adasa.org.za. On the website, you will find all the 9 regions with the contact details for each regional manager for that region. And also on the website, you can see where our support groups are located. And I know with some regions, they also have an online support groups for those that are unable to attend in person. So all the information will be there. But for people that are based in Mpumalanga, they can reach me on my cell, which I'm not sure if I can just mention it now.
Yes, not a problem.
Okay, my number is 063-11-86-559. So it could be anywhere in Mpumalanga. Once you connect with me, I'll make the arrangements and then we can just see how we can best support you.
Okay. Kiki, thank you so much, my lovey. Thank you for sparing so many minutes. You and I know, Wootsie, it was a bit hectic for you right now. But thank you so much. We really appreciate this information. And I'm really hoping that our eyes are more open and we're more objective instead of accusing people of ill things.
Yes. No, thank you so much for actually, you know, allowing us to come and share this information. I just want to mention one thing. September is Alzheimer's month. So this is the time where we provide as much information about this condition, but it doesn't mean that it ends in September. I think every day could be Alzheimer's month. So our hashtag is hashtag ask about dementia and also hashtag ask about Alzheimer's.
Wow. Thank you so much, Kiki, and have a lovely day.
Thank you. Same to you. Bye.
From your ear to your heart, to your mouth, to your feet. Join This Life on 657 AM.
Do you need prayer? Radio Pulpit, in collaboration with Need Pray, is ready to stand in prayer with you. Contact us today with your prayer request at 012-334-1222 or WhatsApp us on 067-429-7564. You can also visit us on radiopulpit.co.za for your online prayer request. We will faithfully pray with you. Do you read the Word for Today daily devotionals? We wish to ensure that your copy reaches you on time. You can now receive the booklet directly at an address of your choice or via email if you prefer. It's easy. Visit radiopulpit.co.za, select your choice, and update your details. Or SMS the word devotional to 37871. You will receive a reply SMS with the options. Alternatively, contact client services on 012-334-1257. Standard rates apply.
Tune in to Radio Pulpit on 657 AM for reliable Christian talk radio at its best. Find your daily dose of Christ-centered motivation and encouragement on Radio Pulpit 657. Download our app now. Tune in to radiopulpit.co.za or find us on DSTV Audio 882 and OpenView 607. Radio Pulpit, your daily companion for more than 40 years, brings a relevant moral alternative to 400,000 listeners in a variety of South African languages. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, and download our podcasts today.
You and 657 AM and Life, a winning team on the road to eternity.